Yes.
Because of the Jewish congregation and other people, poor people too, no doubt.
Right. But you have no memory of having gone to Christ.
Never seen it.
You know.
Never seen it.
No.
Never taken it.
Yes.
Not likely to be.
Yes.
I was never, by the age of five, with the world, I was never taken to see my grandparents. Indeed.
And they, no, I've missed you there. Did they live in the ghetto? No.
Yes, they did.
They did.
The grandparents.
Yes.
Certainly.
Your mother's parents.
My and my mother.
Yes, both lived in ghetto.
Both, yes. And I think that, I can't guarantee, I think, maybe they didn't. My mother was certainly knew all about part of it.
Yes.
Part of it. Part of that world. There were kosher, pious Jews, and very crazy. Terms with each other. Mm-hmm. They were not. Now, you see, you must remember, he goes outside the settlement.
Yes.
And therefore, the right to live there was always all dubious. My parents were right to live.
Oh,
morning.
I didn't realize Riga was outside the
Pale. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, out of the Baltic. Mm-hmm. Out of the Baltic.
Yes.
Not as Riga. Then, Pale settlement consists of eastern Poland, which is the Rosh Bach Poland.
Yes.
And with all of it, I think. Western, some of the Western rebellion, the Western part of Russia.
Yeah.
Including, and bit, presumably bits of Ukraine.
Uh-huh. Bits of Ukraine were out of this? The no. The westmost Western part?
Well, Odessa.
Odessa was not in the Pale.
Not to be. I can't tell you where the Pale was. I think Odessa was. All those Jews from the desert, all those violinists from the desert.
Yes.
So a lot of Jews there.
Oh.
Really. And that's why I assume, not in the Pale, but really, Riga was outside.
Yes.
So it was Tallinn, so it was Vilna was in the Pale.
Yes, that would
and
make sense.
Lithuania was in the Pale. And Poland was in the Pale.
Yes.
And certain parts of Western Russia were in the Pale, but that was all.
Yeah.
Ukraine, as I say, not. Must have been. Must have been Kiev, must have been.
Yes. So the Pale legislation didn't impinge on Riga directly, and if there was a ghetto, it was self-created.
Absolutely. They just lived huddled together.
Yes.
So they just huddled together. Pretty much
speaking Yiddish.
Well, east end of London.
Yes.
Self-created ghetto.
Yes.
East side of New York.
Yes.
There must have been place like that in Montreal.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, the thing about Riga is this, because people were allowed to sit out at the Pale, not all Jews, in fact. The Jews were not. But those were professions.
Yes.
Professional trades. I mean, electrical engineers, I mean,
yes.
As it were, toy makers, anything
yes.
Like. Penknife cleaners.
Yes.
Those people could live outside.
Yes.
So could lawyers, doctors, etc.
And merchants of the first
and
guild.
And merchants of the first guild.
Of whom your parents, your father was one.
Certainly. Certainly.
And yes. That exemption was not purchased, it was automatically granted. It was not purchased in demeaning conditions.
No.
You didn't apply at a police station
for
and say.
Some, but you, they couldn't do it.
And in any case, you didn't in Riga because you were outside that legislation anyway.
But wait, let me explain to you. There are plenty of Jews who should not have been there.
Should not have been in Riga?
No, no. The following reason. If you're a dentist, you could live there. We planned out to have 35 assistants, none of whom were dentists. All of whom were inscribed as dentists.
Yes.
We gave a bribe to the policeman, and if necessary, higher up.
Yes.
It was overlooked. Inscribed as dentists.
Uh-huh.
Clear to everyone they weren't. So a number of Jews could live. And I'll tell you, prostitutes are exempt.
Oh, really?
Profession.
Now
let me tell you.
A noble and useful profession.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of girls who wanted to study comparative philology in the University of Petersburg inscribed themselves as prostitutes. Were given a yellow ticket. And the yellow ticket meant they'd be visited by a doctor.
Oh, really?
With regular intervals to check their health for venereal diseases.
Yes.
These humiliations they went through.
Yes, in order to study.
In order
to study. Yes.
That, I don't think that's very frequent.
Okay, hello, my tape recorder doesn't work, it's complete nuisance, bye.
Jews have to have permission to be there, and on occasion have to bribe officials in order to bring people in.
Undoubtedly.
The population is under constraint.
There are two kinds of policemen, good policemen, bad policemen.
Yes.
Good policemen took bribes. Bad policemen were uncorrupt.
Yes.
Good governors, bad governors.
Yes.
Good governors took bribes. Bad governors didn't. The inversion of normal morality, of an absolutely neat kind.
Yes.
That's what Tammany comes out of.
Yes. Yes.
All organizations of a type are forms of protection against some kind of persecuting majority.
Yes.
Arranged for money policies.
Yes.
You see, who bribe your way in, but they are protection organizations. Which allows it to breathe.
Yes. In your father's
memoirs. Not doing like that once.
Yes.
In Sicily.
In your father's memoirs, though, of that early period, it's almost oblivious of the police. The only time the police were ever mentioned were when he had to buy them off because of your mum crossing the Latvian border in 1921
that's another era. That's not Russian.
Yes.
That is Latvian.
Yeah. But in the Tsarist period, completely oblivious to...
He didn't have to buy off the police. Police offered.
Yes, that's true.
To be with false witnesses.
Yes.
No. Now I'll tell you, that's different. No. Merchants first guild had no trouble.
Yes.
Didn't need to register it. Once they inscribed, Besides which, my so-called great-grandfather was an honorary hereditary citizen. It was done for the rich bourgeoisie.
Yes.
They had the right to live anywhere and for privileges. Yeah. There were Jews. Privileges, of course there were. But the bulk of the Jews living ghettos.
Yes.
If I get what I mean, the Russian government created the State of Israel. Without that, would not have happened. Couldn't have happened. I think I told you this.
Yes.
By squeezing the Jews.
Compression.
They created a national minority. Physically, because
they
don't even themselves next door. Surrounded by peasants who were illiterate, didn't speak their language, didn't have their religion, with whom there was no social contract.
Yes.
With the result that when they didn't hate the peasants, they feared them. Because there was physical danger. And priests, you see, there might be some church procession, might end in a pogrom.
Yes.
Now, when these people went to Palestine, they took the ideology with them. Ideology, I mean, Arabs were Russian peasants today.
Yes.
Same phenomenon, took no notice of them, had no association, no relationship to them, and couldn't have. So they were simply part of the world where Jews could have no association.
Yes.
It is not true anywhere outside the Pale.
Yes.
Elsewhere they were scattered.
Yes. Let me pick up something else, though. Some of your postcards to your mum or to your parents appear to use Yiddish.
Never.
What script are you writing in?
Hebrew, perhaps.
Hebrew.
Maybe Hebrew words. Maybe yeah. Sort of just drove.
Yeah.
I was schoolboy or something.
Yeah.
And what date are these?
No, this is later. This is actually in Palestine.
Hebrew words.
But that would be Hebrew.
I have to mention things that have Hebrew names.
Yes.
I write them down in Hebrew.
You can write them down in Hebrew. How is your Hebrew?
Not very bad. I learned it in Petersburg from a Zionist student.
Yes.
1916.
Yes.
And I can read the, have the alphabet. It's worse than it was. I was able to read the Bible fairly clearly. I don't think I could now. I can't be in a room with Hebrew speakers and understand much. I can
was that always the case, or when you were in
always,
Palestine?
But country? Nobody ever talked Hebrew outside Palestine.
It's all English.
Was it?
Yeah.
Whatever they were.
But what about Yiddish? Never Yiddish.
My grandparents talked Yiddish.
But not you.
My parents talked Yiddish to their parents. Never to me, and I didn't speak it.
And they didn't speak Yiddish to each other.
They might have done, but not in my presence. I can't guarantee that. They were certainly brought up Yiddish. They could not have been. Because their grandparents, natural language, even the great-grandfather, the multimillionaire, he talked Yiddish.
Yes.
It's not like being an Indian or something. Talk Hindu.
Yes.
English is quite an artificial thing, but they get super easy.
Your mother is so interesting linguistically. When you look at her diary, which one of her diaries is preserved.
I didn't know that.
Oh, astonishing, yes.
She wrote
I come out of this enormous pile of research with great admiration for your mother. It must
she
be
wrote
said.
In English?
Well, this is what's interesting. She writes in English, then she slips into a little German. Then it seems to me for the most intimate and personal things, she goes into Russian. And then it seems to me she's going into...
Where are these notes? What are they left to?
They're in a few little notebooks.
Possessed by me, but not noticed.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Would you like me to bring them by so that you can read them?
Yes. Out of curiosity.
Yes.
No.
There's a very...
The natural language were German and Russian.
Yes.
Those she knew perfectly.
Yes.
English very little.
It's late, but it's very good, you know. When she writes you in English, her English is terribly good.
Surprising. I always thought I made mistakes. Surprising.
It seems very, very grammatical, and, I mean, it's clearly the English of a foreign person,
yes.
But it's...
But still, quite civilized.
I mean, compared to my grandmother's English, it's pretty...
Quite civilized.
Jolly good.
I see.
And the writing's a lot clearer as well.
I didn't know she kept in a minute. What little description of what? What are the things about?
Of her inner state of mind, inconstantly, there are diaries for the war, and there are diaries covering the period of your marriage, in fact.
Oh, it's interesting.
It's quite a lot of, she pours herself out, and I think has possibly some unflattering things to say about Aline, but expressed
sure.
in Russian,
and
therefore I can't read
I'm sure it's true.
I think she goes into Russian as a kind of code, disguise.
They were against my marriage, not at all strongly.
Sorry?
They were against my marriage, not strongly.
Yes.
They didn't really mind.
Yeah.
My father was dead
yeah.
by the time I married him.
Yeah.
I married her, 2 or 3 years after he died.
Yes.
But still, I was already on terms with her. And he knew
yes.
that I was attached to her some way.
Yeah.
They couldn't adjust them both. Couldn't not recognize who's from. They thought it was rather awkward to marry a woman with 3 children of her own.
Yes.
That was the main objection.
Yes.
You see, one can't marry sort of women with children. And with a different household. Isn't it rather awful there to
yes.
inherit all these
yeah.
stepchildren and so on. And then my mother didn't find my wife very cozy. Didn't find her very warm.
Yes.
Nor is she.
Yes.
My aunt.
Coziness is not what Aline is about.
What?
Coziness is not what Aline is about. It's about other virtues.
Not that. In other words, it wasn't sort of warm to influence. My aunt, my mother's sister, decided that she was all right and liked her much, much better. And that was...
Which aunt was this?
My aunt Ida.
Ida.
Who died at the age of 96, whatever she was,
yeah.
in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They got on very well.
Yeah.
She had no barrier at all. My mother, she was all right, she liked her, she got on with her. They met, they're perfectly nice to each other, they respected each other. There was never any
yeah.
intimacy. And there couldn't have been.
So, getting back to your mother's language, there's German and Russian are the natural ones. There is some Yiddish.
And Yiddish too.
Sorry?
Yiddish is just natural.
Yes.
It was rather
but never
unused.
And never Hebrew.
Never.
Never.
Well, she knew some. She learned some Hebrew. After the age of 70.
Yeah.
Because of Zion.
Because of Zion.
And Israel and all. Learned it. Painted, I mean, as one learns, I mean. But it wasn't the language she spoke. She could understand it.
Yeah.
Rather proud. When she was in Israel, went to a hospital. And to be able to communicate with some kind of Oriental Jews. Looked after her in Hebrew.
Yes.
So I didn't know what he was. Moroccan nurses. That kind of thing. And even repeated what they said in Hebrew. I'm much amused by what they did say.
Yes.
The fact they called her thou, not you.
Ah.
the pizza. On the news. The chief thing was a terrible Jewishness. She was 100% Jewish.
Why terrible?
Because it just insulated her from the rest of the world. She really felt that the Gentiles, not us. Terrible. My father was not taller yet.
But why didn't it insulate you in the same way?
Because I was brought up in England. Because in Petersburg, my father had perfect good Russians who were not Jews. He didn't feel these people.
Yes.
My mother did. And that, it, in my childhood, it did insulate me to some extent. I met nobody but Jews. I had no Gentile friends except the girl I used to go who walked with, I told you.
Yes.
The daughter of the Deputy Minister of Finnish Affairs.
Yes.
In the same house as us.
Yes.
Name was Ivanov.
But it was a Jewish world in Petersburg.
Yes.
For you.
Yes. All from years.
But well, there
years.
You were subject to the
full... Not the religious Jewish world.
Yes.
The Jewish
secular
world.
Mm. But there you were subject to pale legislation and restriction. No change.
I wonder if you were merchant first guild.
It didn't apply.
Right nowhere.
Was there effectively a Jewish ghetto in Petersburg?
No.
No. Didn't think there was.
Nor in Moscow.
No.
Moscow, not many Jews.
Yes.
Wasn't a lot of business there. The number of Jews in Moscow was very limited. But when I did, when Weizmann, I mean, when I came president of Israel, stayed the night in Moscow. Without permission, he was arrested.
Yes.
Next morning. By the police.
Yes.
Betrayed and arrested.
Yes. Another contribution by the great Russian Empire to the founding of the state
without
of Israel.
Doubt. And then the policeman said to him, what do you do? What is on? I work for a Jewish organization. You work for Jews? Yes. Be very careful. They'll kill you one day. They're bound to kill you. Weizmann said, no, he was absolutely right. They have. They have. That was the truth.
That is one of my favorite stories. I
quite
love
funny.
That story. I love that story.
He was quite right.
Yes.
He was absolutely right. It's like a story I tell you, even in England. I knew a man called Terence Pretty, who was the son of an Irish peer. Was a Manchester Guardian correspondent in Bonn. Wrote a book about Adenauer.
Yes.
Another thing. Quite a nice man. Went to Trinity College, Oxford. Gentleman.
Yes.
Herbert. He suddenly took an interest in Jews. I didn't know why. Even after the Nazis, he felt these terrible things had happened. And something was to be done, and he became a sort of secretary of an organization of promoting friendship in Jews and English.
Yes.
Anglo-Jewish something. I met him that way. He was not as okay the grand Jew. He was employed by him. Not very much employed, but still. He wrote a kind of letter to be sent to members of parliament, giving news about Jews or about Israel.
Yes.
He went to see his father. Was a dim old Irish peer. And father said, was it all right with the Guardian? He said, no, again it up. Who hang? What do you do now? He said, I work for Jewish organization. I said, you? No? Jews? He told me that story. You? No? No. Some perfect old Irish peer. I forgot his name.
Yeah,
sort of. Kettle Fire. You see him? It's quite known. Keynes, Russell. Someone wrote me a letter. Some Indian. I wrote a quite long letter from a rather civilized learned Indian who was emeritus professor of something or other in America. So quite respectful subject.
Yes.
For some reason, what's right? An article about Keynes, and the article is about Keynes' anti-Semitism. Subject is not of great importance. And he wrote this long, sent me long people's quotations from Keynes, indicating. And I replied and I said, if you want some more, if you look at Robert Skidelsky's Life of Keynes, Volume 1, Volume 2, I think I might put them all.
Yes.
I don't know, you can't call him against my full sense. He didn't like being with Jews too. I mean, found them, I don't know. Antipathy. Just didn't enjoy being in that company. Some kind of social embarrassment. I mean, sometimes, and so on. I mean, if anything, it would have been a pogrom, of course he would have defended them.
Yes.
I mean,
he
wouldn't have, well, yes. Then he would have had relations with them. They feel it, and so on. And his Jewish friends. Oh, Leonard Wolf was an intimate friend. And he didn't mind me, oddly enough, in Washington. Yeah, you know, I didn't feel. But I did suddenly come across that. He said, and how is our dear old friend, Professor Felix Frankfurter? Slightly underlined.
Yes.
Foreign origin?
Yes, yes.
None the worse than it.
Yes.
But there are things in his writings which indicate prejudice against them of a purely social kind.
Yes.
Meaning, one didn't like much. That's all. But one didn't dislike.
Was Washington the only period that you knew?
It's rather like not knowing Indians or not wanting.
Yes.
Not like a Frenchman.
Was Washington the only period in which you knew him at all?
Yes. I met him in England before, but he's very snubby to me.
Snubby?
Well, I'll tell you. I went to read a paper in Cambridge on philosophy, 1934, quite early on, 45, 35. I stayed with Braithwaite, who was a fellow King's and friend, and had dinner before the paper at King's. I sat between Keynes and an unknown mathematician. For some reason, what's the name? Braithwaite thought, might have been not the next trip that I knew. And meet these important people. Well, Keynes turned to me and said, and who are you? And I told him, and what do you do? I told him that too. Oh, no, yes, yes. You're a boxer. You're a philosopher. What are you doing here? I'm reading a paper. To whom? Moral science stuff. On what? It sounded terribly idiotic. I said, pleasure. It sounded dreadfully silly. He then said, we've just eaten creme garbure, some soup. Just as good as some drink. I don't know why you should take that picture. Why didn't you talk about that? I felt rather offended. And then he said, let me put this like at ease. He said, do you read Whitehead? I said, I have read him. He's my tutor. Said Keynes. I never read him, I couldn't. He just brooded that one, you know. That's all he ever did. And then turned away.
Yes.
Then I mathematician. Silent, rather grim figure, you know, no idea of his name. I said something to him to break the ice, just to make conversation. He turned to me, carefully, and said, I do not agree with what you have just said. Silence. End of conversation with either neighbor. The rest of the meal consumed in silence. My first evening at King's. It was better later.
Yes.
But that's the first meeting at King's.
Yes.
Then I met him in Washington. And he was very affable. I didn't meet him. Didn't meet him often. I met him 3-4 times at most.
What's he doing in Washington? Remind
he was the head
me.
Of the Treasury delegation.
Yes.
The British Treasury delegation. He used to come regularly. He organized Bretton Woods.
Yes.
He was the financial official. The new dealers worshipped.
Yes.
I mean, he was the origin of everything. You see? But
Can you remember actual meetings with him? What was said? What happened?
No, no. I used to get, I met him only on, well, because I was befriended by a fellow of my college called Bob Brand, Lord Brand.
Lord Brand.
He was the head of the food mission.
Yes.
Later of the Treasury mission.
Yes.
And Keynes liked him. He said, Bob Brand is the only banker I can get on with at all. I always bring him a lollipop of some sort to suck. Some little propositional. Something you like. And he was quite like me.
Yeah.
But when he came to be candidate of Aldrich of the college, he could not have brought himself to it.
Really?
I was anti-Semitic in the same way as all the people of that generation were. But he got on very well. He used to stay weekends with him in the country.
Yeah.
So we were friends. When Keynes arrived, he always asked me to dinner because he saw that Keynes and I get on. We had quite a jolly tripartite talk. Just our three. Nobody else. And that I enjoyed very much. I cannot tell you what it's about. Keynes tells stories.
But he was on, But those were not evenings where you talk about Bretton Woods, etc., etc. He would be
relaxed.
He'd be on.
No, there was no formal talking. No, he would tell stories about Bloomsbury, talk about it often with it.
Yeah.
He had to weave with those philosophers. But it was very easy with me.
Yeah.
But then most people have been. The point is, I don't attract anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism, anti-Semites. Very much.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't. There are only two cases of encounter with anti-Semitism. I think I may have told you.
Yes. One about a club.
One was at school.
Yes.
Preparatory school.
Well, that's right. No? Don't go to Westminster.
No, 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 no. That wasn't the evidence. It was just the coach saying to me,
yeah.
Maybe they won't like your name.
Yeah.
But it didn't come across anything. I mean, it was just a warning about not being too so un-English. Nothing with Jews.
Yes.
That was entirely being a foreigner. No, no, that wasn't it. No. When I was in my first term at the preparatory school in service, a boy came up to me and said, "You dirty German." Because of my name. And the other boy sat on him and beat him up. Unheard of. The opposite. What should normally happen? I was defended.
Yes.
Collectively defended.
Yes.
So I saw that quite well liked. I wasn't conscious of it. Now that I think of it.
A crucial incident if we look back.
No doubt.
Could have gone the other way,
I felt the what?
Could have gone the other
exactly.
way. You would be a
exactly. Usually did.
Yes.
Some people always tell the story the other way.
Yes.
Well, bullying of some sort.
No.
That was the opposite. You see?
To get back to Keynes, though, can you remember other...
The other thing is the club, yes.
Yes. Can you recall other occasions with Keynes, either in Washington or after the war?
Never after war. He died in 1946.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see?
That's right.
Died immediately after war. No, only in Washington. And, well, I told you the story about the election of President Roosevelt.
I don't think you have.
No, right. Thin Roy Harris, the life of Keynes. Not accurately told. 1944. November. Fourth election for President Roosevelt. I was invited to dinner by Lord Halifax. His reason being, though he knew me and quite liked me, again all those. That's really what gave me my status. I was the first and almost only Jew here.
Yes.
For years.
Yes, sir.
The next Jew was Keith Joseph, after the war.
Really?
Nobody in between.
Really? Between you and Keith Joseph?
In 32 and 47. I don't know if any candidates, but it didn't happen. I don't think they went in for it much. I think they didn't think it'd be welcomed.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now where were we? Yes. I was out dinner because I was supposed to know about American politics.
Yes.
So I had to bring copies of the Washington Post, which had all the districts.
Yes.
They'd be ticked off on the radio.
Yes.
Announce the results.
But
after dinner.
This is now back in London.
November 44, Washington.
Washington, still Washington.
British Embassy.
Fine. Yes, sir.
Yes. Washington Post.
Yes.
I had to bring these documents to distribute them. Present were Lord and Lady Halifax, Lord and Lady Keynes, as he already was. The Socialist Secretary was a very, very snobbish lady with whom I got on shamefully well. I forgot my name. I'm engaged to marry to the horrible Neville Henderson, who was ambassador in Germany, remember?
Oh, yes.
I was rich and best in Berlin. She was called, I forgot my name. All columnists are fifth columnists. Not of that went on. Yeah, we didn't. I got a beautiful love.
Yes.
Stiff, stiff, snobbish, grand lady.
Yes.
Looked after Halifax's. Had looked after Lindsay's and people like the Rowe. But for grand, the ambassadors.
Yes, yes.
Then there was, I think, David Bertin, who is the Queen's brother.
Yes.
Who was engaged in, I don't know, political warfare or something, has a job,
yes.
Semi-intelligent kind.
Yes.
And his wife. I don't know at all. That is all. So the Vice Regal Party. And we had dinner. Keynes was there. I talked to Lydia in Russian.
Yes.
treated like this, funded, great homes, Kane didn't like that much. Didn't want to be kept out. It wasn't the usual one.
Yeah, so.
Didn't come across a lot of Russian speakers.
And was she as dotty as the star?
She was, no, she was sweet. She was a child of nature, she babbled.
Yes.
Dotty she was not.
No.
Who thinks she was dotty? Moultrie probably did. Very much disliked Moultrie, despised.
Yes.
Pleasant, I mean, sort of crude, not intellectual.
Yes.
No good.
Very so Keynes doesn't like you talking to his wife in Russian?
Well, I saw you didn't show it, but frowned a bit. So I rather stopped him after a bit. She was delighted, she was part of the vegans and surprised. Then Califax said to Keynes, Lord Keynes, something in favor I'd like to ask you. We are about to produce a program for the Conservative Party. I know you're not a Conservative. I know you're a member of the Liberals. But I wonder if you'd be doing us a favor of looking through this piece of ours. Because you see, we don't want to talk rot. Very clever of him. Keynes agreed. They flirted with each other. He and Halifax. Rather openly. Quite amusing. Well, then, I forgot. I was introduced to him. Nobody knew that meeting. And the social secretary said it's Professor Berlin. And I said, no, I'm not a professor. Keynes said, no, neither am I. As you may imagine, I'm sometimes introduced as a professor. In fact, more often than not. On such occasions, there's only one thing I say, and that is, I reject the indignity without the emolument. That's very typical.
That's a very famous story.
What?
Yes, that is a famous story.
Is it famous?
The line is famous.
What?
I think the line is quite, has become...
Reject the indignity without the emolument?
I think that's become quite famous.
About being a professor?
Yes.
Anyway, he terribly wanted to be a professor. Cambridge was bitterly disappointed when Pigou was appointed.
Yes.
And then he was disappointed he wasn't made promised. You terribly wanted.
Yes, he was never made promises. He was bursar, but never promised.
He wasn't made promises because of Lydia.
Oh, really?
Mm. He lived in the sin with her. It made it impossible.
Yes.
Homosexuality was all right.
Yes.
Living in sin with a woman did not.
What else do you remember of that dinner?
Well, okay. We finished dinner, went to the ambassador's little study. And then the results began coming in. So I have about 900 districts, 490 for Roosevelt, 10 for Dewey, somewhere in Alabama, Mississippi. Nothing happened. Lydia got bored. So she said to me, do you like Archie MacLeish? I said, yes, I do quite. Lydia, not now, said Maynard. Lapsed into reluctant silence. More results came in. Again she looked bored. He said to me, do you like Roosevelt? President Roosevelt? You know, people like you very much. Rosie. Do you like Rosie? I like Rosie. Shh, Lydia. Again. Proceeded. Another half hour passed. Halifax was sitting roughly where you are sitting now, about as far as me.
Yes.
He said, do you like President Lord Halifax? I produced a neighing sound. I don't think I put a word. And Keynes did not stop. But you know, I have talked about him. He is quite popular. But it was not always so. Do you remember? Appeasement? It was terrible. Now Munich. Munich? Appeasement? It was terrible. Nothing from Maynard. Halifax looked embarrassed. Went up and patted his dog and said, now Frankie, I'm not into politics, I'm not Frankie. I'll go and find out how things are. Came back, telephoned Harry Hopkins. Came back and said, I talked to Harry, he says it's in the bag. after that we left. Never that evening. But you see, Norton is rather liked.
Yes, that was very good.
Yes, you see? Particularly against the pompous.
And was Halifax terribly pompous?
No, not terribly, but still, he was a lord and he was a conservative. And the fact that he made this ridiculous remark, anyway, it amused him.
I get the impression of a Halifax being a tremendously tall, cold glass of water.
He was a bit. He wasn't very cold. He was idle, and very clever and quick.
Uh-huh.
He was slow-spoken, but when I produced, I was ordered, produced a vignette of Truman, and he was elected for the benefit of clients, my telegrams, cabin and the like, and I said something about him. And I said, he will probably get on better with Congress, and he's more imperious predecessor. Halifax's arm shot out like a snake. He crossed it out, thinking Winston will take that as a personal remark about himself. Very quick.
Shrewd. Very shrewd.
He was. And never a single dispatch in his own hand. Nothing.
Everything prepared by people like you.
Hacks. He looked on all these workabouts as the great, I mean, no good at all. I mean, 10,000 new meals.
Yes.
Looked down. Pen pushers.
Yes.
Foreign office officials have been nothing to him.
So how did you get included in dinners like
because
this?
Because I was here. I was also.
You were, yes.
You see? And also I was amusing and also I was needed the evening. But I remember, he talked to me at other times too. He did. He said, do you think Herbert Morrison did right to Mosley? I don't think he ought to have let him. I said, I think he did quite. Do you think Mosley would have let in Germans? I said, yes, I don't. Tom Mosley, no. No. And I'm glad he's out. A good thing. He might be quite a decent chap. Bit of that, I also said, I was on those terms.
Yes.
And I used to take dispatches on occasion. I was always kept for a little conversation.
Yes. But one-on-one.
And then he talked a lot to me, and he came back. He lived in Australia. He used to come and stay with his Alexander Metcalf, in All Souls. He took over walks with me. He was strongly approved
after the war.
Stuart Hampshire. Didn't say I could. It's a horrible man. How can you talk? God. He was quite interesting. Politically.
Yes. Why interesting politically?
He talked freely.
Yes.
About himself, about Winston, about the government,
yeah.
About what they did and didn't do.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you more about Keynes, though. What about that? He said, everyone noticed, when we met on one of these dinners, everyone noticed, Congress always passes most idiotic legislation in July and August. It's far too hot. Very much too hot for white men, you know. No good to you and me. All right for niggers.
Is that what he says?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
In those words.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that, would that have occurred at the same dinner table as...
No.
Can't remember.
Oh, no.
Like a little
private dinner above that. I used to meet him sometimes in the embassy when he came to see somebody in corridors and so on. We were on sort of quite friendly external terms.
Yes.
And how are you?
Yeah.
How are you? What do you find about the American scene? Don't you think if we sent an India paper copy of the Times every morning to the southern senators and other difficult people like that, do a great deal of good? He said, no, I assure you. They would not read the Times. They would, I don't see one of these ghastly sort of reactionary senators down the South reading copies of the Times.
No.
I don't. He had no sense of politics, Keynes.
Really?
Politically innocent. I mean, he didn't know how to treat people politically, didn't believe in propaganda, didn't know what propaganda, and yet he was. Ian Robertson, the other economist, who was also anti-Semitic. Pure liberal outlook, very much an apostle, like Keynes. He's rather in, funnily enough, rather unworldly, politically. I mean, why was propaganda? Reading the Times being.
Yes.
They'd find out.
That's revealing, because I always thought he was tremendously astute politically, and a great fixer.
No, he was not. Money was, he was not.
very astute as a psychologist and as a
cynic. Oh, he told me. I'll tell you the story he told me. No, he didn't. What about him? Told me by Robbins.
Michael Robbins.
A great friend of mine, yes. The meeting of the British and American finance delegations in 1941, could have not been present. But Robbins was the part of the delegation.
Yes.
The Chancellor of Exchequer was a man called Kingsley Wood, known as Colourful Kingsley. He was the most boring, imagine. I mean, Duhari, Appeasement,
yeah.
Chamberlain.
Yeah.
He's quite useful. He's got a family solicitor from the Conservative Party. I mean, people put our ideas to, oh no, our people wouldn't wear that. Oh, I don't think get that. Oh no, our people, no, no good our people. That was his sort of value.
Yeah.
Value. He died. The head of the American delegation was a man called Harry Dexter White, who was afterwards thought to be a communist, who had been. Made a very polite speech, British delegation, but death, and Johnson. Keynes had replied, and he thanked Mr. White, he liked very much. He had no sense of politics either. Didn't see why communists shouldn't collaborate. He said the British delegation was very sensible, sympathy shown them, so on, and grateful for the good, kind, and wise words spoken to them. He said, myself, I did not have the opportunity of knowing the late Chancellor at all well. Nevertheless, my work as Treasury inevitably brought me some degree of contact. And I can tell you one thing about it, which the people around the table, the very able people sitting here, indeed, might well not only to note, but perhaps even to emulate. He said, no matter how obscure, how tortuous, how dark, how complicated a proposition in economics might seem to be, the late Chancellor had the gift, the art, of turning it into a platitude intelligible to the nearest child. That is a great political gift. I strongly recommend. They were inexpressibly shocked. I mean, the corpse is hardly cold. It was awful cynical.
Yes.
But very typical.
Yeah, yeah.
Amusing, clever, funny, and rather cruel.
Yes.
There was very blues with it.
Yeah,
very. Little Stranger could have said it.
Yes.
Leonard Woolf.
Yes, I suppose I'd assume that he was the kind of person who said that kind of thing in private, but never in public.
No, no, he did.
This was an example of something said in public.
Oh, no, I don't think he refrained from doing it in public. So whatever he wanted. Completely loose-tongued. Now, I'm trying to think what Morgan had done about Keynes afterwards. He wasn't a friend, I mean, I didn't come into real contact with him. Fairly casual. Delightful to be with. Extremely clever. Cleverest man you would ever have met. He knew what you were going to say before you finished the sentence. It was very witty in answers, exhilarating, agreeable, and terribly alive.
Yes.
Tell stories. Extremely well. Very, very pure, good English.
Do you think those kind of characters have died? I mean, is there a history to that kind of charisma? I sometimes feel that you were part of a generation, you know, Bauer in a very different way, much less intellectually able, but...
Also somebody, personality of the first order.
Yes.
I agree with you. But Bauer, C.S. Lewis, I mean, some of those were not, but persons.
Keynes.
Lewis, certainly.
Collingwood.
Yes.
You.
Sir John Reeves.
You.
No. Who?
You!
No. I didn't count that league at all. I wasn't like that. I was quite a grumble rattle that I was. Now, wait a bit. Now, I'll tell you more. People, sort of formidable people.
Yes.
Sir John Reed, certainly. had effect at some point.
Yes.
Nothing of that kind.
Air?
Not a clever musing. No.
But not.
Not personality, isn't it?
Yes.
No, wait. People with presence in the room,
yeah,
and immediately noticed whether you liked them or not.
Yeah.
You knocked the result. Prince College is official, a bit like that. New College. Genius, that's a different category. No scientists known to me like that. Rutherford, maybe.
Yes.
I know, maybe.
Yes.
I just wonder whether that charisma is passing.
I'll tell you. If I'm asked, which I am occasionally, who ought to get the OM, and you think of nobody, terrible to say that.
Yes.
If I'm asked, were there great novelists alive? None.
Yeah.
No great novelists. No great poets,
yes.
No great painters, no great composers. Good ones, yes. Things were interesting.
Yes.
Great. I don't mean by great, great. Anybody who other people think is great,
yes,
is good enough.
Yes.
I mean, Trevelyan was not a great historian, but some people might call him great.
Yes.